That's exactly why I'm late from Mineu Bay. The topic of Mechiras Chametz is really a very practical one for those who plan to enter into the Rabbonus. Here, the rabbi is really put on the spot. You got to do something, you have to do it right. Now, take some more. You have to do it right. The Mechiras Chametz is a not easy thing to do. You know, you don't want to make any mistakes when it comes to these things. Generally speaking, Mechiras Chametz has a basis in the Shulchan Aruch. Take a look, for example, in page 1 of the Bekoros. If a person did not have the opportunity to sell Chametz, and he owned Chametz on Pesach, also Bahanah, after Pesach, so it's not just a matter of the Bayi Roel Bayi Mot, which is of course the most serious violation, but affects all of Klal Yisrael, even other individuals. They can't enjoy it after Pesach is over. But we are taught that if you can sell it to a guy, then even though the Yisrael knows the guy, you know, he's not going to touch it, he's going to give it back to him afterwards, doesn't make a difference. Muta before Shemachaba. We'll come back to that. What's what Dava Mu'ah means? Fine. Is the Shulchan Aruch clear? The opening paragraph. It's clear as day that Mechiras Chametz works as long as it's a real, honest to goodness Mechir. Fine. Now, we notice that we have a discussion. Michutz l'bayis. Why michutz l'bayis? Why? What's it? Why can't it be in your own house? So Mr. Brewer writes, well, the only reason to take it out of the house is in order to be able to facilitate some of the methods of sale. And you can put it back afterwards. You may eat it? No. Mechitza asar would suffice. But some achronim say no. Hocha migra gara. Because we know that the God, Yodea Hakam Shushal Yisrael, will you go? Ava pisha kano, merzi kechemto shal Yisrael. Looks like it belongs to the Jew. That's a chumra, which we don't really fully grasp. A chumra. Number one. Number two, Igal Lemech Hashem Yavol Le'Ochlo, since it was his from the beginning, even a mechitza will not help. If that's the case, even if you put it in a corner of your house, so you made a mechitza, it would not help. That's only lechat chila. And therefore, if you have too much chametz, you can't get rid of it. What do? You sell the room in which the chametz is found. V'avi k'mosh ha'mocha l'chutz l'beiso. V'kinyin ha'cheder hu b'kesef imshtar. Okay, so you have to sell the house or the part of the house where the chametz is found as well. Fine. Now the key is the last few lines of this lengthy Mishnah Berurah Yud Beis. V'tzarach limsel ha'mavtech mechedesh ha'munach bo ha'chametz k'sheyuchal likonos b'shah she'yirtzav l'izla eschemtzo she'nimka o nitan lo o sh'akol pono yom lo yisrael b'cholei she'tirtza tuchal likach ha'mavtech mechedesh ha'chav likonos bo l'izla eschemtzo chav yisagamu. Laniach Shem Chosem or Mazger, please take some. Before you get to the Mechiras, you have to have Bir Chametz. Okay. Chol Mechira Lo Hayarak Harama BeAlma. If you lock it up, don't let him in. If Moshe came B'Tchila B'Shosh Shemocha, I feel B'Diyevet Asur Chametz. Lo Samcha Dait Da Akam. U'Mikomakom B'Tchila Mocha Kedin. But that's not so simple, even if that's true. If you lock it up subsequently, even that may be no good. Why may it be no good? For a variety of reasons. One is, it seems to me that if it's clear in your own mind or in the guy's mind that you're going to lock it up subsequently, so there's no smichus das. You don't really mean it. You didn't have it in mind. since he didn't have it in mind, it's really not nothing happened. That's a very serious problem. Very serious. That's number one. Number two, it's quite a significant question as to the status. Part of the shiur, eliminating chametz. So there's a serious question which the Mishnah Berurah does not bring up over here in this particular sitkat which we just read, but it is a serious question. And the question of achrayus. If I sell the chametz to a goy, there's still a problem. I bear some responsibility for it. Because that's a serious halachic issue. That's another reason that we read the areas to the goy, which the Mishnah does not mention over here in Sivkot and Yud Beis, just in case the achrayus. We try very hard to eliminate any achrayus on our part. But in case we miss, and you can easily miss, we learn it in Shulchan Aruch, you know, although there exists an iser of chemtso shel goy b'achrayus shel Yisrael, that is a serious prohibition. But chemtso shel goy b'achrayus shel Yisrael and b'shus ha-goy, that's okay. So the way we accomplish that is by having the area belong to the goy. So you have two things: belongs to the goy, the chametz itself, and the area where it's found also belongs to the guy. So that's okay. Yeah.
So I just want to clarify, chemtso shel goy on the rishus of a Yehudi is not okay. If you haven't sold any property to a goy and your chametz is being stored on behalf of the goy on your own property,
it might still be okay. It should be okay unless you have a achrayus. And since we're afraid that there may be some measure of achrayus, therefore we try to overcome that possibility by arranging to see to it that the chametz is not in my rishus, it's in the goy's rishus. In case of achrayus, it'll still be mutter. Is that clear? Okay. Good. So now we know our mission impossible is here. How do we make sure two things happen? Number one, the chametz gets to the goy. And number two, the area where the chametz is found also belongs to the goy. How does one do that? How does one do that? So let's do one at a time. So we'll try to go in order the Mishnah Berurah as much as we can, even though it's not necessarily the most logical order. Yud Gimel, the Yadav of Yitnenolo. If the guy doesn't want to give it back to you, of course, us is roll over there. You can't force him a tits. The Ibnas Lorak makes us dumb about Chazak and Oliver Miller, which is what we do. Gives us a penny and the rest is a milver. The Ain or Rotsa, the Shadow, Loha Mosar. Pesach is over as he wants to keep the Chametz and not pay the extra $1 million that he owes us. The Vare Mutal the Tvos, Abedinev, Shishalam Magia. Should demand he gives you $1 million and he takes it to a secular court. Oh, or the alternative, sheyita lo chametz v'toras tashlum and al chova, that he can give you the chametz as a payback for the money which he owes you. Now this is interesting. There can be a situation where the goy, for example, cops out. After Pesach is over, the goy is going to be willing to sell it back to you. Very, very nice. What if the goy is 1,000 miles away? How are you going to make a long distance sale? It's impossible. You can't do chalipin, you can't do kesef, you can't do anything. I mean, why you money somebody? You have to wire him money. That's not so pushy. So for some reason, the guy just disappears on you and you catch him on a cell phone. I went to Hawaii and now everyone's waiting with the comments, what are we going to do? So then one possibility would be to say, you know what, Mr. Guy, you owe me $1 million. Give me $1 million. Wire me the money this second. If he doesn't want to do it, you know, maybe you want to use the chametz to pay me back. Ooh, that's not a bad idea. So it's Piron Chol and Netzorach Kinyan. Piron Netzorach Kinyan. That would be an interesting way how to solve a problem in case the guy just decides one day to cop out and he's not nowhere to be found. you call him on the cell phone, and he's 10 miles, 10,000 miles away, wherever he is, and everyone in the shul wants to eat the chametz. So there's a way to effectuate the chametz belonging to the Yisraelim at that point in time by accepting the chametz as payment for the outstanding debt. That's a chap. But it's not the ideal way to do things. We'll see later how we do it ideally. Okay. Let's go to Yud Zayin. Oshim Kerenelo. Ve'ezek kinyonim kon akam. Yeshiv is a deus ben apostle. Some say kesef. Some say Meshicha. Machlokas of Yochanan Rishlokash. Question of the Paschal. Some say Agav. Some say Chotzer. Some say Chlipin. So we now have, already five before. Boom, 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 boom. Five Kinyanim. Now, as a matter of fact, we use all five Kinyanim. All five. Let's review what the five are. Well, that's all five. Four of the five. Kesef, Meshicha, Chalipin, Chatzir, and Ag. Which one do we not do? Meshicha. Meshicha, it's going to pick up all that stuff. So we don't, we use four out of the five. Four out of the five. Next page, page two. The Yesh Mefak Bekim, Bekinyon of Elu. And we don't find them only by Yisrael. So the Chatchila, you should use a Kinyon Gomer, Muskam, and Chuli Alma. What's that? Kesef and Meshicha. Right, b'di'evet, kesef alone, or what are the shakinyanim alone? So after Pesach, it's mutter. But what about l'chatchila? So what do you do? There's so much, too much to be for Mashiach. What do you do? Says the Mishnah cryptically, yevur l'kamei. It will be explained later on. So this is written in Sivkata and Yud Zayin. So after later on, somebody after later on, he's going to explain later on. I assume he has a mind in Sivkata and Yud Tess, I guess. That's the last one on our list of Ma'amakomas, basically. Let's see what Yud Tess says. V'dava mu'ot. Remember the Shulchan Aruch said you sell it for a small amount. Ve'en lochash abitl mekach. It's less than the amount that it's really worth. Sh've yodea bi'atma sh'shava yoser. You sell it for a discount price. Someone you know. Fine. What does that mean? That's a kind of a situmta. Or the kias kafsh called tsushla. Shake hands. Makin kapeim zalzeh. That all that's what's called situmta. Or the nesinas pruta b'mkomos shenagul shalokeach was pruta demokam nikmar mekach. Which the kesef can work b'tarah situmta itself. Of a mokan shenagul shemesias mapteach having ma mekach. If not, can work b'shem situmta. Minig asochrim. It works. Or agav. What is agav? You sell the knochri karka, or you rent it to him. The agav bon, you say kinyan chametz. That works. You don't even need tzibur in those non-sukkos and kiddushin. How do you sell the karka in the first place? The kesef im shtar. And b'schivus is enough kesef alone, you don't even need a shtar necessarily. If he gives you a little bit of money, or you've got a deposit, sagi, and that's enough to create the schivus, and the rest is again a milveh. Fine. But if the area is not mine, it only is rented to me, I can't sell it, I can't sell davar sheder shelo. Yaskel nachri. What I rent, I sublease to him. Ad kam, the Mishnah Brewer. So having read a lot, I want to read you a lot of text. Now we're going to go back and before we read any other sources, let's just take a step back. So what do you do with the mice? How do you do it? So I want to discuss a few significant points, which I think are overlooked very often in this Mechiras Chametz. The first important thing is, who was the guy? In order for a sale to be effective, the seller has to know what he's selling, the buyer has to know what he's buying. Pashup Shad, have a Gemira's Das. So I'm not happy that some people decide to sell the chametz to the janitor in the shul. It's the most convenient guy around. The janitor often doesn't even speak any English, and there's very little content about the world of business and about the world of contracts, and he doesn't get it. So I'm fearful that such a sale may be somewhat compromised by the inadequacy of the buyer. I've always felt it's important to have an intelligent non-Jew on the other side of the table to be able to understand what exactly is happening. Especially since the sale is really a legal sale, but not a sale where there's going to be a transfer to physical title in all likelihood. So it's even more important for someone who's sophisticated and nuanced to understand what this is really all about. When I came to my community, it was the first Pesach, I would say, it was 1974, a few years ago. I'm looking around for a goy. Where am I going to find a goy? I don't know any goy. So I lived in a two-family house at the time, and downstairs was a goyish couple. So I approached them. You know, we had neighbors. He said, I have to be at work. Can't be there. But my wife, she can do it for you. So Caroline was the non-Jewish woman who, the first 3 years that I was in Riverdale, she bought the chametz from the members of our community. Caroline was a college grad, an intelligent non-Jewish woman, and we went through the various kinyonim, right? So first she gave me money. How much money do you have to give? Not too much money. The minig is to give a pruta for each person, and the rest of which is a zekiva b'milva, an outstanding debt, the non-payment of which will in no way affect the sale. The sale is a sale anyway. You can guess, if they don't pay, go after him. Let me interject and say, there are some posts in the field, and since we just read the Mishnah Berurah, if the guy is not going to pay you, you're going to be able to collect the chometz ultimately as payment for the debt, that may smack of achrayis. Because you know that's your only recourse to get the quote money back if the guy won't give you the $1 million. That's why there are some who say that itself is considered a smack of achrayis, and therefore it's an additional reason, as I mentioned earlier, to make sure that the chometz is in the property belonging to the guy, since it may be considered to be achrayis shel Yisrael, to backhanded, indirect achrayis. De facto achrayis may also be achrayis. That's the famous Rambam about an olive. A strong man said, if you lose it, I'll give it to you as a shomer, a shomer chinam. Yeah, but if you lose it, I'm going to break your neck to your payment. It's only though de jure potter, but de facto achrayis. Rambam considered that to be achrayis. Yeah, this may be along the same line. Yes, what's your question, son?
Could you include in the sale that the payment doesn't happen with the mekach is batel mikana lahava, as opposed to saying that trying to work out that you'll use the chametz payment, but the mekach is batel from the time that the payment is not made, let's say an hour after Pesach and on.
How do you do that, Simon? Either a sale is good or it's not good. You can't be batel mekach 10 days later. You can be batel mekach based on a mekach tos, it's past tense. Here it's only future. There's no way to do this. If it was valid, it's valid. I don't see a way to do that. Let me go back. So Caroline was very cooperative. She brought, I wanted to use coins. You know, probably dollar bills work too, but I think it gives it more meaning if using coins. So she brought coins, a penny for every person. And then we did Kinyan Chalipin. She gave me some item of value. And then came down to shake hands. Oh, so we rely on the ethicist. Long before Randy was writing his column, we realized that this is a negiah shalom with erechiba, and to be permissible in such circumstances. Fine. Now, we then decided we're going to rent the properties to her, lease the properties to her. So we said, first of all, we said Kenyan Agav. But Agav Ukni Boy, so before you do the actual, how do we actually transfer the property to her? The same three kinyonim, Kesef, and Chlipin, and Tzitumta, handshake, again. But before we did any of those three for the second time for the Kaka, we spoke out. We said, Agav, incidental to this rental of the area, we're transferring title of all the chametz to you in this additional manner as well. So it's a fourth kinyan. We had Kesef, we had Chlipin, Situmta, and now Agav. And then we said, now that you've rented it out, you're going to be koneh b'chater. So you're actually koneh the chametz with five different kinyan. How you sofa the karka, chater again. How? Kesef, Chlipin, Situmta. Obviously, Agav and Shtar can't work for karka. One more, and that is Shtar. Karka, Skiris, and the Shtar. We'll see the Shtar that we use. So we have Sacha called five Kinyanim for the Chomet and four Kinyanim for the Karka. Everybody with me? The three that are both are Kesef, Chlipin, and Situmta. And for the Chomet, we use in addition Chotzer and Agav. And for the Karka, we use in addition Shtar. Everyone with me? So it's a total of nine different areas. Nine kinyanim, it's a lot of kinyanim. Okay? Five and four is nine. This is what we do. Okay. Now, Pesach is over. We come back to the non-Jewish person and say, you know, the time's come to pay. Pay up. So the person may decide, well, I'm really not interested in paying you for this. I don't have enough money to pay for it. So, well, maybe you'll be interested in selling the chametz that you own back to me. That's okay. Sounds a little funny, but we'll skip from page 2 to page 4. Page 4. Mechava Sivdalid is the line Shema etzterech bekechenem uchachar pesach. That you say, you know, give it to me. I may want to buy it back to me after Pesach. Says the Mishnah Berurah Chav Gimel, V'achronim Kosu, Derashoy Afilu Laftiach She'yachzav Yikna Mimena Vietnam Rebbe. You're allowed to even promise the guy that if he wants, you will in fact buy it back from him and give him a profit. So the input's clear. You may do this. There's nothing wrong with it. You may do it. It's very important. People don't realize that this may be done, and it actually should be done. It should be done. Yes.
I just want to ask the five kinyanim that were coming were Kesef, Chalipin, Shtar, Situmta, and what was it?
Kesef.
Agav.
Agav. Agav. Yeah.
What is the difference between buying the chametz back and using the chametz as piron for the chov?
It's much better if you buy the back. The piron of a chov, it only heightens the fact that it's smacked of a price over the whole yom. It's not a good way to do it. You're actually stuck. You have no choice. It doesn't show up. It's far away.
You don't want to put up the person in a position of duress.
No duress.
You're forcing him to pay to keep the comments back. The people.
Chas v'sholom. Keep the comments. It's the paper. Okay. Yes.
Is there any concern with decreasing value of the comments over the days?
Very good question. The chametz goes up or down in value. So how do you work out the details? Right. Yeah. Always the details are always important. Always the details. So going back to my history. So the first 3 years, this downstairs neighbor of mine was the non-Jewish person who bought the chametz from the community in Riverdale. Then she moved out. Now I'm really in tzaras. I have no goy. So I'm asking around the shul, who knows a good guy? I need a guy who's a guy gomer, for sure. And at the same time, I'd like to have a guy who's educated. He understands what we're talking about, and who knows what's going on. So a member of my shul said, you know what? We bought a shul that we currently occupy. We had bought it in 1975, and we had used a real estate agent. And this real estate agent was named John Brown. Why just give it to John Brown? I'm sure he would like to have an accommodation to the community, good publicity for him. He can sell more houses. Remember, he sells a house. What do they make? 7% on a house these days? Something big. 5%. Whatever it is, big bucks. Riverdale houses are not cheap. So he can make it'll be helpful to him. So I contacted this Mr. Brown, whom I knew, And he said, okay. And ever since I was using Mr. Brown. Mr. Brown, I mean, I think he believes he started 30 years ago, in 1977, if I'm not mistaken, that was his first appearance to buy the chametz, and he's done it now for 30 years in a row. That's a pretty good record. As we shall see, Mr. Brown has some very, very special qualifications that even Caroline didn't have. Although, including that as being male, so not the world on the ethicist, there is a potential plus in the female. One of the kinyan which we think is really the fail-safe kinyan is chotzer. Everything else is a subject of dispute. But chotzer is a mefurish gemara and avodah zarah that it works for a guy. Mefurish black and white. However, the achronim ask, if chotzer is midin shlichus and shlichus anachri, how does it work? So some answer, you're right, but the gemara says in Baba Metzia, chotzer mishum yad v'lo gara mishlichus. How do you know mishum yad? It's derived from a get. Who accepts a get? A woman. So there are some who claim that only a woman nachris can be kona b'chatz, not a man. So if you accept that view, we were better off the first 3 years, that we had kinyan chatz al chol adeis, and the last 30 years, it's only kona rov adeis. I don't accept this distinction between man and woman as far as kinyan chatz is concerned. Okay. So after a while, you begin to realize that this Mr. Brown has certain unique qualities. Number one, he's a real estate agent. So when we describe in the contract, which we'll see momentarily, about the real estate, he knows what it means. For most people that live in Riverdale, he's actually been in the house in an attempt to sell it over the last few decades. So he knows the building, he knows the block, he knows it. Number two, we found out that thanks to our community and others buying houses, he's a wealthy man. A wealthy man means he can pay the money for the chametz. If he wants, he can really pay. Number three, he is attuned to the nuances of contracts. If you're a real estate broker, you have to know what contracts are about. He doesn't make his money until the contract is really signed. So he knew many, many things about contracts. So, this is the story of Mr. Brown. I want to digress for a moment and say when we learned Pesachim in the yeshiva, I believe it was 1994, Yeshiva learned Pesachim. So Rabbi Schwartz here, as a youngster then?
Year before
you came. Okay. Right. Just before the rabbi came. So, Philip Sama says that. No, not even once. Can you imagine it?
Cole's learning things.
Cole.
Okay. Maybe.
The vote. But in any event, so Mr. Brown, I wanted him to come to my classroom to discuss it with the students, see what would happen. After we learned Mechiras Chametz Meir, I was still in this building down the hall, and Mr. Brown came. So he walked into the classroom, and everyone's trying to trip him up. You know, you don't really mean to buy it, do you? And what it is? And no one got anywhere with it. He would answer every question. Halavai should answer our Mechina questions as well as he answered those questions on that day. He was really he was good. So, that's the story we have in our community. So, let's read the end of page 2 where we left off. Came the Mechiras Chametz of Yalacha. Sarach Lios Mechirah B'Gemurah B'li Aroma. Nire the Achar HaPesach Shiyagdir Anachwi HaChametz Yisrael Tzorol Knoos L'Biach HaMidake HaKno. Well, look how many men Chazar Astan. You have to actually do it. He says, well, it's enough to have what? Kesef l'chud. And Noch gives back the shtar. That's enough. Even though the Yisrael Minochu is not kona kaga b'kesef, doesn't matter. Okay. But that's what we do. We do actually three kinyanim. We meet the goy after Pesach. What do? He gives back the shtar. I give him back all the money that he gave me in Erev Pesach. And we also shake hands. And I give him an object of value. I give him my watch as a kinyan chalipin. So we follow this Pir Halacha via Dimra Maskil Mechiru Gemur. It's important to do that. Okay. Let's now spend some time on page 3. Page 3 is a long Pir Halacha.
Sorry.
sorry. I give him the money, the contract. I give him the money, we shake hands, and I give him my watch. So that's three kinyan. And he gives it back all the shtaros. Okay? That's what we do. Let's now just spend some time reading these long
bialot.
Huh?
Buy back.
What?
Do the people make you a shalinga to buy you back?
There's an umdun of the muchach that the general population wants the chametz back. Oh, saying it perish. Okay, let's read this over here. I am Mr. Brewer. Ukayom minikol Yisrael shein mochim b'dav amuot ha-bemekach ha-samach l'shav yol shal chametz u-mekabal v'yanochi eitz z'ruvim shekorin oifgam a deposit, a down payment v'tchilas piron v'ashar zolk fin olav v'milve chosh mishmiz z'mekuf tzari z'mahani Tov Kosrachon, Tov Lizor, Shalyala la Mekacha Beyosa Mishavi Vesach Rav. Don't overestimate the value. Something could be considered to be Bitl Mekach. Well, it's Bidiyev, it's not Ma'akev, because Bidineyev, you can't back out no matter what. But if there's a minute going to back out, it'll be a problem. Just try to give a good estimate. You should, always, I think you should go for really a low ball figure. Some say, it doesn't say help if I say I'm selling you the house. You have to say beferich. I'm selling you the house, such and such, and the chametz call mida every measure for such and such. Because if there's no money and there's nothing works, unless you say sheyomak if sheyoshim also ploni or gimel bikin. If you're not going to get a precise value, an estimated value. You say it depends upon the three experts, they're going to tell you the exact value. It's Sarak Lefaresh, called Min Vimin, Chomet Shiyesh, yeah, every different kind of item. Lichlev Stamani Mokal Chokol Shiyesh, Lov Chashash Chimuts. Tavi Ke'ein Mino Yodua, Shorein Yodea, Vishava Arve Ma'at, Lifa Kol Min Vimin. Like a Medida, it's Sarak Shiyadav Kona Pesach. You can say the exact number, amount, that can wait. That can be done after Pesach. The Medida, the Shuma, the estimate, how much it's worth. Achapetz, that's a Makor Chaim. Who be the Evet? Mama Stam Kol Shiesh Bo Chashash Chometz Ovelam HaPesach. So the Sechemet says you can be Megal be the Evet. But Tzorach Lifrot Shem Alokech B'Shtar. You gotta write the name of the buyer in the Shtar. Very important. Skipping a little bit. Well, we should really go straight. The halacha says certain things only work if you took all the money. But if you only took a little bit of the money, vashar zakuf all of the milveh, that's what we do. Lo ma'ani, why? Shreem yavad ha-chametz, if the chametz will get lost, lo yirtza ha-goyel l'shalem, lo ha-magim, we won't want to pay. Even if he has to pay, he won't want to pay. So the Kaimala and the Simantov Mem, the Hechid Akam Alam, the Kofail, the Shalom, Arehu Kibachrayas, the Shalom Kain, who are then Hachash, it's going to be considered Achrayas, well, de facto. Sheret Sarach, Lishmer also, the Mieyovad, Yasin, the Magilom, and Akam, the Kain, Im Zokov, Allah, Hashem, the Milveno, Mutel, Ken Achamas, the Bokam, Hakaka, Ukshamakla, Hakaka, where Achamas give a base of Shalakam. The Yotznak, upon that's a poskim, the Savri, the Chamas, the Yisrael, the base of Shalakam, and over Allah, even if you are Achrayas. That's what we just got to sing before, right? This is de facto achrayas. Some disagree. Some say the Makor Chaim is wrong. B'shvil zeh shelo yirtza akam l'shalem lo hamagir mele. You won't pay back de facto. Lo mikri ayadei zeh achomets b'achayuso. It's not considered to be my achrayas as a result of that potential refusal on his part. Look in Nishmas Adam, it's Nechemet, etc. That's a very important yisod. As I told you before, we try very hard to make sure that the chametz is in his property, just in case it's considered to be achrayas shel beis shel Yisrael because of this possibility that the Makor Chaim raises. What about kinyan agav? So the Mishnah Berurah, I mentioned it, but you should not rely upon the chatchila because yesh mefak mekin al kol echad v'yechad mehem. Each and every kinyan. Some say it's no good. Chot is the most beferish. Some say it doesn't work for men. Agav is not a first it works for a guy. Nor is Khalif and the Machlok is Gdol Yaposka. And it's the same with Kesev is also Shaila. Shasat Chach, Hamas Beruba, So therefore, with the Maisha, we do all these Kinyonim, right? Many people think Agam is terrific. The Mohammed says the Beferish, the Taz. Nonetheless, the Shkrahava Situmta as well, or Sudar, or both. Kemoshe Noagin Lahayom Lichbol Kama Kinyonim. Because the Tumim says that Agam is no good, the Ktsos says, well, it may not be good, but it may be the Rabbanon. Fine. What about a Kinyon which works in secular law? That's a question. The Machlokas. Minig HaSofer. Question whether it works or doesn't work. Better than Minig HaSofer. Okay. Last line of the page. In other words, in case one of them doesn't work, this should be called severability. It shouldn't knock off one because another one doesn't work. That's the Bi'olach, the long Bi'olach, which we just finished most of what he said. Fine.
Ready?
Yes, sir.
So, even if there was some technicality we didn't cover, and then the sale would either be void or it would turn out the Yisrael of Achrayas, wouldn't we still be covered as far as Chametz on the Pesach, because we say it should be Hefker and Bittel and all these other things? We don't rely on the tefillah because it may not be sincere, but wouldn't that cover you anyway?
Yes, if you do a proper Bittel subsequent to the Mechira, you get rid of everything, your Mafker, your Mavatla, we'll see what that means in a minute, then you are correct that would take care of all the world's problems. It would. Okay. Fine. Just a brief point. You look at the Sharatzi and Membeis discusses the ancient Shtichos L'Akam with respect to Kinyan Chatzer. It's on page 5. In Membeis it discusses Kinyan's Minig HaSofer. Does it work? Or does it not work? Then, in Zivkot and Yutes, which we looked at briefly, he discusses the question: if I'm selling, if I'm a renter, so what should I do? Yaskel enoch also chedav yaskir lo stam lahachzik lo kelev v'metaltlof. So put on nunhei dila lahaskel lo lader ein lo vishus imischur lo miyisrael. I've no right to sublet. But this kind of sublet, he's not going to move in just to store stuff there. It's not meant by the exclusionary phrase of the rental agreement. That's what it's driving at. Adkan, basically what the Mishnah Berurah has to say on this topic. So it's not everything, but it's more or less what he said. Let me take the question before we see some of our own forms. Yes?
So those of us that we were renting from people over here, we don't have to ask permission or anything?
Not necessary. Because although your lease may say you may not sublet, what that means in the mind of the person who printed the lease is he should not sublet the someone who's going to move in. Because then the neighbors and I have noise, they make dirt, whatever. But if Mr. Brown is not likely to move in.
So then that means that we can assume that's there?
That's what we can assume, right. As a matter of fact, what the Mr. Brewer says, that we're going to rent the area to the goy just for leaving his stuff there, I don't do that. I rent it to him straightforward. But I know he's not going to move in. He has his own house. Why should he move in? He's a real estate man. He has plenty of houses. Does that have to move in? Yes, sir.
What time in the morning do you
use it? Ah. So now let's discuss some of the practical stuff of the Mechira. So before we get to the Mechira, I want to show you a copy of my Shtar HaShoah, which is the next page. This power of attorney. Let me see. Are the other side fully empowered? The rabbi attacked in my place instead. It's all based on lawyers. on my behalf to sell all chametz possessed by me knowingly or unknowingly as defined by the Torah and rabbinic law, to lease all place to which chametz may be found, especially at rather than your address. Chametz I possess includes the following type of chametz, where it's stored, approximate value. It's exactly what the Mishnah Berurah wants from us. Mishnah Berurah said you have to say what it is, where it is, and what it's worth. Date, everything was a date. Signed. People used to sign like doctors. Couldn't read it. So we added printed name. So it's how are we going to find out who you are? Okay. What happens if a person's gone away the whole Pesach? Does he have to predict his chametz or not? What do you say about that? It was not put on the Makoros. It's not really directly related to the Mechiras chametz. But it really is. We should have put it on the Makoros. I apologize. End of Siman Tav Lamed Vav. The Mishnah Berurah. My mistake. I should have put on Tav Lamed Vav. Sif Katan Lamed Beis. Okay. In Mechuyev Livdak Balel Yadal Achadar Mishnah Bedaita Lamochon 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 Shalem. Must I do a bedika this Sunday night if I plan to sell the room to the guy on Monday morning? Yes, Deos Ben Achronim. The Makor Chaim, the Chayotim say, yes, because right now it's my room. The Binyan Olam says no. Since I'm going to sell it tomorrow to the guy, I'm fulfilled Hashvisu. And that way, there's no need to sell it. V'lo gora mechomet shemotzi lachapadika shemishar lemachol lemachor. You say for breakfast. Maybe not. He says motzi lachapadika. I left it out of the I saved it for breakfast. Not mochiv to check. That's breakfast. What does it mean if I eat it for breakfast? Or the girl will eat it all for breakfast for the rest of his life? That's kept out of the sale. Let's take that back. That does not compromise the effectiveness and validity of the bedikah. No difference conceptually to one box of Cheerios for breakfast and a whole room filled with Cheerios that sell to the guy. What's the difference? We'll do the bedikah, the other parts. And the Chasam Sofer is the same thing. Shemekayim mitzvahs bedikah b'shar chador. Oh, sounds like the Chasam Sofer that there's some kind of a positive to do bedikas chametz. If you sell the whole thing, he's not so excited about that. That's the implication. But of course, he quotes Nei Shel Avro. Sarach li zar shivoyer be'eis ha-mechira shemochalo acheder V'chol ha-chomet ha-nimtzebo. To include even the Chorim Mestokin. Don't say the stad, you're selling him the room with the schnapps, with the beer. Says the Mishnah Berurah, even though it can be Mekel, ha-mocheh b'yom yud-gimel, shaper odiv tvei. Better to do a b'chiras yud-gimel for these people, so by the time the Olah Bosa comes around, they do not own the rooms. You'll ask me a kasha. They don't own the room, they should have done Badika or the Shlosh Asar. So the answer is the Manoshach. Either you take into account the future or you don't. Either with the center for the Jewish future or not. If you take into account the future and say what? That he is what? Chazer again. You take into account the future that since he's going to leave, that he's going to leave to Florida on Sunday afternoon. So then he should have done a mechiv b'dikan motzi Shabbos. Once you take into account the future, take another future into account. What's that? He's selling it to the guy on Monday morning. Elamai, you don't want to take into account the future? So he's only Yud Gimel. And that's not a lot of also yet. So Mamala Shabbos, no mechiv b'dikan motzi Shabbos. That's my pshat on this. Alpha Pigan, it's better. This is again, it's always good to do a mechiv Yud Gimel. And if you do that, then there's no chiyuv b'dikah leil yud gimel because the future has you going to be selling it before your Olah Bosa comes around. But then make kiddush if you do it if you sell it mechiras yudal. Now to fulfill the Mishnah Berurah's wish, look what we have over here in the second part of this form. But you should do this as well if you're going to away the whole Pesach. I specifically authorized the rabbi to sell the chametz located anywhere in my house. That's what we just saw now in Mishnah Berurah. Anywhere, not just the specific beer and wine, etc., and liquor, etc. At the above address, this is my entire home, parentheses, for those who want to be makom for the chassam sofer, with the exception of blank, you pick a room which is easy to check, and that room should be accepted from the bedika. Now the keys to my own can be found with blank, because if you have to have the keys, as we saw before, you don't have the keys, it's a joke. So where are the keys? You give it, you put it in someone else's house, the next door neighbor. Let's say there's no next door neighbor, so a far away neighbor. Blinetta, next week I want to add, next year I want to add something. I keep saying I forget it, forgetting it. Add address, I want to put it underneath the possibility, cell phone. That should solve the whole problem. Is that my key? So under address I should put down cell phone. Someone remind me. Cell phone. Okay? And really, everyone has a cell phone. Who in this room does not have a cell phone? Raise your hand. Even I have one today. I always raise my hand for fun. I don't have one. Today I've gone to the airport. Even I have a cell phone in my pocket. Oh, but this is in my pocket. Yeah.
I'm a clue to ask the person who has my keys, are you going to be at that apartment?
Of course. I just met a guy from my shul. He said he wrote me on the form the keys to his next door neighbor. His next door neighbor decided today that he's going away for Pesach. That's no good. He didn't have to give me the key. He wanted to give me his key right now on the street. I said, bring it to your house. Oh, the house goes, no, you get locked out. Take the key home and get it to me some other way. Yes?
Does the person who has the keys have to be there for all the
cases? No, no, no one can be held down to it, you know. It's understood that you have to be reasonable. We'll see that in the document, what reasonable. But cell phones would be the best way. That I keep, every year I say I'm going to do it next year, and I keep forgetting. Someone should remind me, make a note next Purim. You should put down cell phone.
If the person's home call might, so then that's enough? That's
yeah, I think so. Cell phone. To be very good. Yes?
So if you're authorizing the rabbi to sell chametz, you know, what if you're selling things that are like subject chametz? You're not sure if there's a chametz in it. And so if the guy came over to your house and he said, I want my chametz, you wouldn't know whether that was included in the sale or not.
Right. So the post talk about chashash chametz, a possibility of something. So let me throw that in. Take a look over here in the bottom part of the stock, which is a funny thing. One of my chevra made another correction for next year. Right above this, on the other side, he put down in big letters, contract. This is not a power of attorney. Power of attorney goes down to there. This is called a contract. It's a chumra of Rav Henkin, another poskim, that there should be a direct signature on the star itself by the mocher to the kohen. Otherwise, there's no relationship between the Shtar HaShah and the Shtar Mechira. That's only a chumrah, because after all, you don't even need a Shtar HaShah. Even if Shlich is alone, is enough speaker or there. But it's a good chumrah. Contract. That's the next thing to put over. Okay. I, the undersign. Hereby I sell all my chumrahs to John J. Brown, 279 West 231st Bronx, New York, 1563. I also lease the place which chumrahs is found in the above address to Mr. Brown for a period of 10 days. 10 is an approximation. It all depends, you know. All the leases end the same time. See, they all end next Tuesday night. That means 12 days from now. That's when they end. When do they begin? This begins on Monday. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbat, Sunday, Tuesday, Monday. What's that? 9 days, right? Am I correct? It's 8 and a half. 9 days. If they will see some people sell on Sunday, so then it's going to be over 9 days. It'll be closer to 10 days. There's even a problem if our pays on Shabbos. It's really a little bit more than 10 days. Right? 10 days. It's an approximation. And in the and we make reference. This is sold when? The sale and rental will take on Monday, April 2nd, 2007. That's this coming Monday. Correspondent to 14, Nissan 5767, before 11:30 a.m. What's 11:30? What is that 11? What does 11:30 mean? What's 11:30? What kind of time is that? Who knows? Who knows what that means? What does that stand for? Nobody.
Fourth hour?
That's the before the end of the fifth hour, even according to the Magen Avraham, even according to, we'll call it the, what I consider to be correct version of the Magen Avraham, which is what's known as the Achdel, which means it's not 72 minutes or 72 minutes extrapolated, but it's really 90 minutes extrapolated. So that's I think. Not sure if that's even true then. Whatever, it's the classical Magen Avraham is certainly later than this. What? I'm sorry.
I have a question. The certain person is going away to Israel and 6 hours ahead.
Very good question.
And now he has possession of chametz and it hasn't been sold yet.
Right. So I do two mechiras. and the one mechira, I'm going to meet the guy on Monday. Feel free to come to my shul in Riverdale, 10 o'clock on Monday. They'll meet John Brown, they'll meet 20 other rabbonim, and it's a very enlightening experience. If you can't come, it's on video. And Rabbi Raphael, he has a video, so he showed it to his boys today, Tom. So you have access to it also, probably?
Yeah.
So Rabbi Schwartz can get the video if you want to see it. If you're in town on Sunday, feel free to come to my shul Sunday at 6 p.m. You live in Riverdale, come 6 o'clock on Sunday. Rabina, and he'll come and join us with the mechira. In case you want to sell the mechomet from Italy, we can arrange it for the Sunday sale. Because the Sunday sale is the mechira sibgimel, which you do for two reasons. The primary reason for those who are in Eretz Yisrael or in Europe. I have a lot of Italy too. Last year, as a matter of fact, Rabbi, my son was in Italy for Pesach. Apparently, some Yidlach who, somewhere up in the Italian Alps, they have a good time. So, you see that? So he asked me to sell the chametz for him in Italy. Well, I only had chametz in Italy, and there was straw, wherever he had it. And I did it in the early sale. But once I'm doing the early sale for the Israelis, I included in also the people who want to get out of the mechiras chametz, because the Mishnah Berurah said, or the tvei, to make a mechiras yitzim. Okay? Everyone, any questions before anything? Yes?
So someone comes to Rebbe, chooses which one they want, and they're here, and they have to specify that they want to do something, are we included in that?
Yes. The stop person is mechiras yitzim. Now, the average person who sees me, I do not have this piece of paper on the bottom of this contract, on the bottom of the power of attorney. But if I have a reason for it, they saw the top two, one or two. Then I have in my pocket a list of shtar mechiras b'kitzer. The shtaras are the same, more or less, but they do it in my office, right? And wherever they meet me, in the shiva, it's as follows. Here. I'll give you the 13th one. This is the Yud-Gimel one. You'll see. Instead of I, it's we. We hereby sell. We also lease 10 days. And in this version, this sale method will take effect on Sunday, April 1st, 2007. Count to 13 Nissan 5767 before 7 o'clock p.m. Before Mincha. So I'm meeting him at 6. And it says, further details concerning all of the above are recorded in separate. What does it say over here? In the above power of attorney form, and let's take it myself. Here, in separate power of attorney forms, these things, and then the document of sale. So my typical star show that doesn't even have this thing on the bottom of it. Okay? So it's a bigger print, it's easier, it's more user friendly because it's bigger. Yeah?
Rav mentioned in Shir last night to be mocked to do the beer, whatever you're burning, after the Mechira is already taking place.
The Chathchila, we should do the beer after the Mechira. It's correct.
So how do we time it? Exactly.
Correct. So it's correct. So again, so if you sell through me, so I am meeting the goy at 10 o'clock. But 10 o'clock, that's the pleasantries there. Will the rabbanim show up? We have quite a few rabbanim who come to my the mechiras comes we have in our shul, from even interstate commerce from New Jersey, from Connecticut. We live in the tri-state area, right? So commercial coastal. So until I get around to selling, even to doing even my chametz, it's going to be probably around 10:30, which is that's the Mogen Avraham sort of sofsman. But the traditional Mogen Avraham sofsman achila. I don't want to sell it because I'm eating it. And then until the last job I finish, it'll be before 11:30.
So if we give our contract ready by 10:30 New York time, that's
you can start burning. That's right. 10:30, 10:45, 11:00. Whenever you start burning the chametz, we make a fire in our shul after the mechira is over. Many rabbis go in. In many communities, when there are many rabbis come together, so all the rabbis appoint one rabbi and he sells for everybody in one shot. I don't like that. I want every rabbi to do his own sale, and he should be his own boss. We shouldn't have to make a shliach or a shliach. It's more complicated, even halachically, and also even practically, let every balabas know that his rabbi sold the chametz. Not to rely on some other rabbi. I think it's for the dignity of each and every rabbi independently, and each one does it.
What is the
Arab
Kabbalah?
We don't use Arab Kabbalah. Rabbi Metzger, every time he used to use Arab Kabbalah, all the Babich is like Arab Kabbalah, out the Rebbe. But Rabbi David Lipschitz used to ask me to use an Arab Kabbalah. It's complicated. Something makes it even worse.
What's an Arab
Kabbalah? If the guy will not pay, there'll be someone else who will be responsible. This takes care of the achrayas problem. The rabbis worry about achrayas. You have the question that Rav Kaba, what did he do? It's very nice, you know. It's not a simple matter. He's one of the keys of the bill. He found a shittim kubetz in Baba Metzia, the Rebbe found. Rav Poskim don't require that. I've looked into it and I don't do it. Okay, any questions before we take a turn of the page and see the star? Yeah. Sure, it's always better if you want to get rid of it. It's great, but you're allowed to sell chametz gamma. You're allowed to sell chametz gamma. Very important. I had a conversation in Shir today where someone asked me. The Rav Shefter Shlita said yesterday at the Shir that the reason why we're allowed to sell chametz, even though mechiras chametz is a ha'aroma, is because there's no business of asay involved. For an asay, you shouldn't have aroma because pidyon ma'aser sheni. You are part of mine, I'm part of yours. The Mishnah Ketz Namir and Ma'aser Sheni. It's only because of a special pasuk of Lemani Varechacha. Otherwise, you would not be allowed to do it. So, why can you do it with respect to Chametz? So, the answer is that Pidyon Ma'aser Sheni is a mitzvah, and only Chametz is only an Aveir. And you're allowed to get around Aveiris, you're not allowed to get around mitzvahs. So, someone asked me a kasha. We read before in the Mishnah Berurah himself that if you lock up the Chametz, it's Haroma B'Alma, it's no good. So, I explained. There's a big difference between harama and harama v'yalma. Harama is a legal act. It's completely legally binding. Same as pidyon ma'aser sheni by somebody else, also legally binding. That works. That works for a low sasei. However, if it's harama v'yalma, to quote the Mishnah Berurah on page 1, harama v'yalma, the last few lines of the long one, you'd bathe, that's no good. That means it's nothing. It's not a fact. It's very important to know that the same word can be used to mean two opposite things. Harama means it's a perfectly legitimate means around an illegal loophole. Harama b'yalma means nothing happens, it's just a joke. It's critical to know the difference in those two phrases. Yes?
Does one cell even, crumbs that are around the cabinet? I mean, if someone
thinks
he cleans the entire room, is it best to sell it anyway? Because
yeah, why not?
Usually,
what? Usually,
you do
bittul too. And the order, what's the order? The order is, first, in the morning, we do the mechira. First we do the achila. First we eat chametz. Then we do the mechira. Then we do the beer, meaning a ramah, to burn some chametz. And then we do the bittul subsequently.
Is there a problem
with
you do mechira and bittul on the same?
Same
one. Same object.
Once you do the mechira, presumably if the mechira is effective, the bittul will not come with that object because it's not yours anymore. The last bittul is what we call a fail-safe. Just an emergency measure. In case things didn't go right, for whatever reason, get rid of everything. Chazite, lo chazite, everything goes. The first bittul does not include Cheerios. It's breakfast, actually. Only the lo chazite.
So if someone finds,
I put the
chametz, that's how a lot of normally
is
destroyed.
Destroy it. Destroy it anyway. You ask me, Akash, how can I destroy John Brown's chametz? It's a very good question. The answer is twofold. One, John Brown doesn't care. It's not makpid, because they're the only thing that's makpid. He doesn't care. Number two, the fear is, it's only a fear, but it's still a fear, that perhaps since you didn't know about it, you forgot about it, that the mechir will be no good. Even though you write explicitly, knowingly or unknowingly, we put every throw in everything, but we're not 100% sure it really works if you don't know about it. So, safer just get rid of it.
של
הבית, זה שייך לבית, למשפחה. אם הבעל בוחר, זה מספיק.
לא, אם הבעל אין זמן.
הבעל אין זמן, האישה עושה, גם טוב. אנחנו נגד הפריה. נכון?
ואת השאלה, מי שעושה על ידי מחשב, שצריך פעמיים, איך יהיה
הקניין? פעמיים? מי ששולח את כן. Say them, fax, מחשב, email, הכל. אבל אתה צריך, לא צריך קניין. לא צריך קניין. כי הכל, what the rabbi is saying, that we have a minute that the rabbi picks up the handkerchief or a pen, right? Or that the rabbi, the person picks up the pen of the rabbi to further authorize him. If you send the fax or email, there's no pen. The answer is the rabbi writes this pen is ain't no time. Doesn't make halachic sense. You want to be very rigorous and exacting. It's just to demonstrate a greater measure of smichas das. So you can't. Okay. Yeah.
For people like us, or some people like us, where our parents are going to sell their chametz, do or say their own beer, do we also have to make our own?
If you have chametz in the dorm or in your apartment, either your parents can include that address as one of their addresses because they're paying for it. So, or maybe yeshiva pays for it, but they're paying for other things that you're doing. So it's considered sort of theirs. Or you can sell it yourself, your choice.
And also, should we make our own decoration?
Kol Chamira? It can't hurt. You have to. Most people don't make it without a bottle of bus. Yes? What?
Also, it says that we're selling anything we know or don't, that we know about or not know about, we're
right.
Selling to the boy.
Right.
So what we go to burn...
very good question. I was about to say that. When I sit down with Mr. Brown, I tell him, I count in my bag the 10 crumbs from the Bidigas Chamira. I say, Mr. Brown, this I'm not selling to you. I want to burn it, and I don't want to burn your stuff. And there are probably a lot of people in this group who have bags, who are about to burn it, and that's not to you either. Rabbi, if that's what you want. We're very careful in this particular contract. It doesn't say anywhere in this contract that whatever is in here supersedes or overrides any other agreements. There is another document which I did not copy for you, which we utilize in terms of in businesses. In some businesses, very complex. Nursing homes, they're open on Pesach and they have chametz there. Whoa, it's very complicated. So in that kind of case, Mr. Brown owns the company and the Jewish person in the business or non-Jew, whoever's there, is working for Mr. Brown and it's a complex financial understanding how it works. So in that document it says, this is the controlling document, any other side deals are bottle of a bottle. But in the one you're going to see in a minute doesn't say that. Mr. Brown has already pointed it out to us. He's an expert in contracts. He's a rabbi in this document. Any side deal is going to work, but in the other one, it's not going to work. So that's correct, John. So, yeah.
Also, I mean, if once they want to have comments in the car, then according to this, they just lease in their car. Then how can they use their car?
Where's the word car?
Any lease all places in which comments don't
need that. I assume that the comments with the car was checked with a thorough bidik. There's no comments there.
So if
somehow comments got on the jet, Brown rent the car. He's a fleet of 10,000 cars. Well, you don't intend to lease that thing. I don't think so. That's the use.
What
did
YU do?
The boys in the dorm.
The cafeteria, the whole.
They didn't ask me that question. I'm not in charge. I'm sure they do, but not through me.
Yeah, but I'm saying, does that work like a nursing home? Is that the same sort of...
Well, here the cap's closed, it's not a problem.
But they don't have anything in the fridges that are...
They sell it. No, the problem in the nursing home is they give the chametz to the people on Pesach. That's the problem. There is no problem of that nature, to my knowledge. Okay, we ready to take on the star? Okay, turn to the last page of the Makoros. Every year things change. This is last year's edition, I believe, and I don't remember who typed it for me. I forgot. Because I want to make a few changes, but I don't remember who did it. So it's one of my bigger problems. I can't from year to year to Shia Shiksa. So if I can't make any changes, I don't know how to get the computer this for this. So I'm stuck. Maybe a change, I may have to make a certain change. We'll see soon. Agreement made on the date, the English date, the Hebrew date, the time. Now this blank is going to be able to go from now on in. It's either Eastern Standard Time or Daylight Time, but now that the Congress changed the law, it's always going to be Daylight Time. See, Rabbi X of X, you're going to have to refer to as agent, and John J. Brown of that same address, 279.
Rabbi X of X, what does of mean?
Address.
Your X.
My address. And his name, his address, he's a buyer. Whereas, this is real legalese, whereas, certain persons whose names are set forth upon certain inventory sheets delivered herewith to the buyer, hereinafter referred to as sellers, are desirous of selling all chametz as hereinafter defined, owned by them, and in which they have any interest whatsoever. And, whereas, each of the said sellers has designated, appointed, and empowered Rabbi X, the rabbi's name, as their lawfully designated agent to sell, transfer, and dispose of all such chametz in such manner upon such terms, as said agent in his sole discretion shall deem appropriate, and whereas, as the buyer identifies desires of purchasing all the said chametz and the seller to the terms of this agreement, now therefore, it is agreed by and between the agent and the agent for themselves, each of them, and the buyer, and the agent hereby sells, and the buyer hereby purchases all chametz belonging to each and every one of the persons herein referred to as sellers, whose name are set forth upon the individual inventory sheet of each seller. Term chametz intended to include any all 11 products of the finest of grain, wheat, rice, spelt, barley, oats, alcohol fermentation of any of these grains, or any admixture containing any of the above mentioned products, including but not limited to, all items specifically enumerated upon the individual inventory sheets of each seller. I forgot something. It's also included. Suffix, right?
With an admixture?
A mixture, fancy word. In order to. Yes?
What about Sohar? Do you sell Sohar?
It doesn't say lemon, it says Chametz. It doesn't say Sohar. Hey, that's a good question. That's a good question. Do I have anything about that? Been Sohar?
Does
anyone have Sohar?
Yeah.
What is sour? I don't know. Yeast, we call yeast is nothing. It's not gluten free. There's no wheat. This is biological yeast. I keep yeast in my house on Pesach. There's no problem. Yeast is not. What we call yeast, you buy in the store yeast. Never saw any wheat. It's not only a commercial item. Commercial item. I think you buy it in the store. So why have to include it if no one has it? Yeast is called sourdough. Zoyerpeg. Sourdough. That's what it really is. But no one has it. Unless you made it yourself, you took let it stay, and it became flour, water, dough. You just let it stay for a while; it becomes basically moldy. That's when it starts to be able to serve as a fermenting agent. We don't want to have that up. Let's go on. In order to effect the sale, the buyer needs to pay the agent the sum of the estimated fair market value of all of the chametz as determined by three recognized experts. We saw that, remember? According to the accepted market value prevalent today in New York City, and which is made by the buyer as follows: 1 cent per person now, the rest on or before April 10th, 2007. That's the last day of Pesach. The big problem is the 1 cent, Rabbi Sai. Big problem. What is that I'm talking about?
So you're saying the copper, are they making it away from the copper pennies?
No. A cent is a value. I don't know what
it is.
Oh. So how much does silver cost is the real question, because a pruta in halacha is a certain amount of silver. It's a set amount. Yeah, right, but it's a certain amount, and it's a question of how much it is. So it's about, so this is a very rough estimate, about a thousandth of an ounce. About. So as long as chametz is under $10, you're safe. Chametz has always varied between $3, $4, $5. That's traditionally been that way. Now, what is it worth?
Silver.
But Baruch Hashem, no one knows on the markets of it. Busy learning. $13 an ounce. That's more than a penny. So I found out after Pesach last year was worth $14 an ounce. So we goofed. Because 1 cent per person an hour was less than the Sheva Pruta. I have a Chiddush, Nifla, Lalacha, that maybe you don't even need a Pruta for this. Chamesh Pruta said, including Shia Pruta for Kenyan, that's Kenyan Karka. Karka is nicknamed B'Kesef. But Mos is really nicknamed, but the Talmud is nicknamed Mos, as the Rabbis explained. The entire sum and the rest is Skeetha B'Milvin. So maybe you don't even need a Pruta. Chiddush on my part, I'm not sure it's true or not. Good question. The God Parach Shaputa works for a guy for an Erev, would it work here as well? What happens if you say you're renting it? What happens if you rent it and the guy gives you less than a. You rent from him, you give him less than a Pruta.
Right.
But that's the way it is on Mechila, so it's significant for the guy. So maybe you're also saying. It's a good subject for Shabbat the God of Russia. But if it goes up, if it stays up above whatever the price, I'm going to may go to more than 1 cent. Now the holy chakira, must I go to 2 cents? We're going to write down 1.2 cents or something, 1.1 cents. Well, that has no meaning. That's what we're discussing. I'm not sure. I'm hoping it's going to go down. But well, hopefully tomorrow's closing price of silver is very momentous for me. It goes up and down the last minute. It's just above one of the chevra of the one members of the kol, his name is very appropriately Zilberman. So he is the one who's checking the Zilber for me and finding out exactly whether it's going to be up or down. But he's going to tell me tomorrow at the closing time of the market with what I have to do. And I'm not sure what to do. Yeah.
Chazanish writes that shir fruit is also lach mosh mishin misin like shar shirim, and posting right in other situations that there's no shirim lach mosh mishin by a guy. So off that could be there's no requirement for shir fruit.
That's more or less what Ezra was saying. Similar idea. Similar. Of course, it's not only a guy. It's a yid involved there too. It's both. We have to figure this one out. That's a good topic for Russia. It would interest all the balabata. Commodities exchanges. Oh, ups and downs. And silver and troy ounce and real ounce. And I'm not talking about that. Yeah. Yeah.
I said before about arthritis, the Jew owns an apartment building. He might not own the chametz of each and every tenant, but if something in his building explodes, he has to pay the back for it. He has arthritis on the chametz.
I doubt. All the arthritis by the insurance company. I wouldn't worry about it. Let's go. The understanding is that the sale is absolute and effective immediately. That the balance due is considered a debt from buyer to seller, the non-payment of which shall in no way affect the validity of the buyer's talent of the chametz sold. I told you, it's just a zakeh of a milvah. Here's the key line. Risk of loss and loss of value is borne by the buyer. We're trying to get out of achrayus over here. Because we're going to be responsible, if it gets lost, it goes out of value, it's going to be bad news. So he bears the risk. So of course that's the question, how can he take a chance? Loss of value, male, how much does it go down already? But loss, it burns down $1 million of chametz. He's going to have to pay for the $1 million of chametz. So there are again two answers. One, likely to be insurance. Two, the guy knows that the only copy of this document, the only signed copy, is in his office. So if there's something he doesn't like, he's like, "Oh, I just lost the document." You know, that's always an option that a person can theoretically at least have. Next, in addition, the buyer gives an item of personal property to the agent, chalipin, and they shake hands in the course of the common custom of sales, situmta. These additional methods of acquisition are employed because of questions about the effectiveness of each method. It is emphasized that each sale and method of sale is independent and therefore unaffected by any invalid sale or method of sale performed in this agreement. In other words, if let's say Khalifa doesn't work or Agam doesn't work, the others do work, it's good. What do you mean by sale? Let's say one guy doesn't really mean to sell. He's bluffing. He doesn't know what he's talking about. So his sale is invalid. So my sale is still valid. But Talmud asked me I should add something else. Not only should I make it severability from each sale, but each item of sale. Let's say I sell things that I can't really sell. For example, somebody just put on a piece of paper before they sell the stock. Sold the stock. My view is you can't sell stocks by signing a name onto my document. How can you sell the stock? How can you do it? By American law, you have to be registered with the SEC. By Torah law, what do you mean you own the stock? What does it mean you own the stock? Stock is up. I don't know what it means. I guess it means you own part of the company. So you own such a portion of every car or every loaf of bread or every bottle of liquor that the company owns. You can't sell that. You're not in control. Who's going to be a communist here? Ain't no the mocha dava shena b'shusa. Everyone knows that. So you'll ask, well, if you can't sell it, then how do you survive on Pesach? So my answer is it's exactly the same reason why you can't sell it. That's why you're not over. Because it says solely about the bibotechem. And the Rosh seems to say bibotechem, the chilta, the gaonim, only if it's in your control. Not based on b'shusa, I've called b'shusa. So, but let's say I put in stocks. So then, if I consider it to be an invalid sale, so the way he was also selling me bread, so the bread is also invalid. So to make that clear, it's better to write out each sale, item of sale, method of sale. So for next year, maybe I can do that even for this year. Item of sale. Let's continue. It is further agreed that the agent on behalf of each of the sellers can release to the buyer the closets, cabinets, storage rooms, garages, basements, and other areas in the premises of each of the sellers where the offer described as how much they be located, including the location specifically enumerated upon the aforementioned in the Torah sheet, and including further. Here's the type I was looking for. Any. Any. It's not and, it's any. See? I noticed this typo. I don't know. Who has my computer? Who has the disk? Whoever's supposed to get a hand of the disk to give some for next year, he'll give it. I don't know who has it. Never know. So if we can figure out from last year, please let me know. I forgot. I mean, it's not market. This is and. Big deal. But I'm saying, you know, you want to get it right. Within the premise of the sellers with such chomet that you found, parentheses, in the event that any of the sellers may be tenant to the premise they presently occupy, with respect to such sellers, this provision shall be intended to convey a sublease of the areas where such chomet may be located. Sublease. You're allowed to do what we said before. Hey, you did it last year for me? No. So I'm trying to who people. It was someone who types very, very fast. Somebody can do the whole thing in 2 minutes. The original. Who are the very fast typers over here? Maybe David Feinberg? He's an Eretz Yisrael. I don't know who did it. The duration of this lease agreement shall be from blank, which will, you know, before blank, Eastern blank time. That's, you know, whatever the times we spoke about before. To, I'll write that over here, 8:45 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on April 10th, 2007. What's 8:45? The sun sets that day about 7:30 approximately. So it's about 72 minutes after the sun sets, which is so cool, the amount of times, man. Whatever.
Some people aren't in Israel.
What about them?
If their sale started earlier, but they're already holding by Oisantif.
Right.
And they can't get the stuff in.
What do you mean? I assume that the objects are in America.
Oh.
So the fact that they're sitting in the hotel in the Ramada house until they get back on the plane.
But they know that their machir is only on things in America.
Let's say a guy's in Israel and sells me the chametz he has in Israel. Right? So the sale is absolute. But I'm not dealing with John Brown until 8:45, Motzi Pesach. He has no right touching the chametz until then.
Yeah.
If he does, okay, he's a ganef. I don't know if John Brown's makbid or not. But even better, ideally, should not. In consideration for the foregoing rental provision, the buyer agrees to hear what is paid to the agent the additional sum of 1 cent for each of the new rent sellers. In addition, the aforementioned method of exchange and handshake are used to effect the rental. By dint, that's by strength, of the execution of this rental agreement, the buyer also requires ownership in all after described chametz, which is hereby transferred to the rental called agav. The Chacham Sofer's shtar mechir is at kraft, which is strength, which is dint. Further, by virtue of the buyer's rights in these rental storage areas, all chametz contained therein is acquired to the buyer. Chotzer. We spell it out. In the event that the power of attorney forms authorized the agent to lease the entire home, the agent on behalf of those sellers hereby leases those homes entirely to the buyer. That's a recent addition. It is further agreed that the buyer shall have the right to access to the premises of the sellers in each of them in order to gain access to the respective store here as herein above described. In fact, the buyer shall require keys to gain access to any of the premises described therein. They shall be made available to him upon reasonable demand to the agent. He calls me, I look at the form, I get hold of the guy. So my cell phone will be very good for hopefully an improvement for next. Write down. Cell phone. Good. It is expressly intended by the parties here too that this agreement shall be binding in the course of the laws of the state of New York and in the course of the laws of the Torah. The rabbi and the buyer sign it. Then you take all the shtari harsha with the shtar mechira, hand it to the guy in the presence of two edim. Not you really need two edim, but stam lechatchila two edim. And make sure the Edom are not related to any of the people who sunk the chametz in that particular transaction. And that's how it is. It works. Yeah.
What if a non-Jew passes away?
So I spoke with my Shia yesterday. I want to finish the substantive questions, then I'll answer all the funny things that I have to tell you about Mr. Brown. Yeah.
You mentioned before that we promised that we were willing to buy back.
You're allowed to. Mr. Brewer says.
So that's not a good issue.
No, it's not. It's a side deal. I told Mr. Brown that, you know, if you want to sell it back, I'll do it. I don't want to put it in the shtar. Yeah?
In terms of if we're selling crumbs and things like that thing. So the fact that I don't even know what they are, and he doesn't even know what they are, I don't even know the value. And
that may compromise the deal, I'll be honest with you. But we put it in anyway. Maybe it'll work. But we're not sure.
So for that, might need to be that.
That's
the
right.
Rest of the
okay.
Can you not wait about Ashba Kamor?
Right. That's it. At v'chamor, that's why we need severability to overcome the at v'chamor. That's exactly the point. Presumably it can be overcome. Presumably, yeah.
Are we concerned about, I don't know, the tax laws or other laws that come to effect with sales of these amounts?
I don't believe any tax lawyer would come after this one, after the government would leave us alone. That's what I think. For whatever reasons that they were. And even if they wouldn't, the sale is still a sale. Even in American law, private sale, and even if not, it doesn't matter. We'll sell in an hour loss of some surfaces.
So I'm saying as far as Torah, we have to keep tax law.
Not in this case. I don't think it's required. Even if I also say it's required, not in this case, to my knowledge. Anyway, there were a couple of things with Mr. Brown. Another side deal with Mr. Brown is, some people, after they rent the area to Mr. Brown, haven't left yet. They'll sell the chametz to Mr. Brown. Let's say Mechiras Yud Gimel. They want to avoid B'digas Thomas. They'll sell Sunday at 6 o'clock, but they're not leaving the house till Monday at the 11 o'clock. It's a problem. So I tell Mr. Brown, there's some people who can't get out on time. Would you mind if they stayed in your premises that you've rented out now at 6 p.m. on Sunday night, if they stay there till another 16, 18 hours or so? Rabbi, I don't mind there. If they want to stay there, it's okay. Now I have another problem. Two other interesting problems. One, there are two proprietors under the Shkach of Nevada Riverdale who will both be spending Pesach in Eretz Yisrael, but neither is willing to give up the busiest night of the year, which is Leil B'dikas Chametz. No one needs to know. Never needs out. They want to be open for business. Now what do I do? To sell them in the morning, can't. Too late. It's already after the Seltzman Yisra'anoh in Eretz Yisrael. Sell the night before, 6 o'clock, they're open till 10 o'clock. So Mr. Brown then becomes a restaurateur. Mr. Brown is saying, these guys, they want to open for business tonight, and it's really your fee, they're selling your stuff. Would you mind? You can make an account again. Rabbi, that's all right. Then the guys in the nursing home with their deals. That's also those, these are the deals we save for the end. Then we go to these side deals.
They could just sell it to you.
I'm not interested in buying the chametz. I have enough of my own. Rebbe, ich will ach paar kaufen the chametz. Well, if you say, ich kaufe this can chametz, I'm only selling it to somebody else. They should know what's going on. If you're selling it to me, I'm not buying it. So that's another important thing. Then, the people who are in different time zones. So those who are in Israel, we sell early. Those in California have to buy back late. So we tell Mr. Brown at 8:45 on April 10th, Mr. Brown, do you want to... So this is how it goes with him every year, the same pismet. Mr. Brown, it's April 10th and it's time for you to come up with the rest of the money. Rabbi, I find myself in an embarrassing situation. I am financially illiquid. Which means to say he has all the money. Yeah, that's true, he has the money, just he's tied up in real estate and stocks. He doesn't want to liquidate it. John, would you like to therefore sell the chametz back to those who's... Yes. So we do this thing, but before I start, I would say, but Mr. Brown, there are some people who are living west of here. And for them, it's the Passover holiday. They're not just inviting the chametz back yet. They want it to be effective in 3 hours from now. All right. I know about this in my contract law. He says, my real estate deals, we'll sell the house on October 15th, effective January 1st, for tax laws. He's a bucky in Shtar Mechiru Diachazman. So even that he knows. John, we're not sure about the status of Hawaii. Because we've had people there in Hawaii, and we sell it early, we buy it back late because it's Japan. We're not sure what the dateline is. He knows about the dateline. He knows that too. But one year, he asked me your question, Rabbi. What would happen if I should expire in the middle of the Passover holiday? So he asked me straight. So I'm John. You pray for your well-being all year long, but especially during the Passover holiday. I said, but Rabbi, what would happen? So I said, look, you have heirs. You have to deal with your heirs. You have there's a children. And speaking of his children, let me end the shiur with the following incredible vignette. One year he tells me, Rabbi, I will be this December I'm going to be in Jerusalem. I got very nervous. Jerusalem? What is it in Jerusalem for? I said, John, why are you going to be in Jerusalem in December? Rabbi, I'm going to Jerusalem to celebrate the bar mitzvah of my grandson. Says it's B'nai Brak all over again. In B'nai Brak, they sold the chametz for many years to a so-called Arab, which turned out to be Jewish. John, what is this? Rabbi, don't worry, it was an intermarriage. I'm not sure which way, I forgot which way it goes. This child was really bar mitzvah, not bar mitzvah, then I forgot already which way it went. So there's a PS to the story. That December, my son, who lives in Israel, was in the plaza looking for Rabbi Shechter, Shlita, to try to pick up some kind of a package he sent. And he does a double take. There is John Brown. I mean, how many seasons he saw every year? He's a child growing up. John Brown. Looks up and says, excuse me, are you Mr. John Brown? Yes. Are you the John Brown who does business every before Passover at Riverdale? He says, yeah, well, my father's a rabbi. Oh, yeah. Mr. Brown, why are you here? He says, well, I'll tell you. I originally booked tickets and a reservation here in the plaza because of the bar mitzvah of my grandson. So. But you know what happened? Because of the intifada, everybody canceled. The bar mitzvah didn't come. The parents didn't come. My wife and I, we're too old. We're not afraid of any gun. We came anyway. And this is the other part of this vignette, being too old. Some years back, I can't remember exactly how many years ago it was, I got a frantic SOS from the same person who was dealing with Mr. Brown originally, one of the people from my shul. Rabbi, you have a problem. John Brown just turned 55. I may have asked him, what's the problem? Well, you see, his father died at 55. His grandfather died at 55. He decided, this rat race, of, you know, it's hard being a real estate broker, back and forth, all hours, in weather, everything. He's going to buy a house somewhere upstate and commune with nature to prepare himself to meet his maker. All right, what are you doing? So that was, I think, in the fall. Every day I don't wake up with the work, but you know, so it was September, October, November, December, January, February. I said, what's going to be? What am I going to do? They called me real estate. Mr. Brown is not in. He's not in. I get a call, believe it or not, from upstate New York. Mr. Brown, Rabbi, you may have heard I'm sort of in semi-retirement. I'm upstate New York. I'm coming back to meet you before the Passover holidays. He viewed it as a school of Arichas Yom. Now, people, we saw the Mishnah Berurah, you can give him a profit. We saw it. I don't give him any profit. I give him just the same money he gives me, I give back to him. Rabbi Rosenblatt comes with a fancy bottle of schnapps, and every other day he says, Rabbi, I will consume this chametz appropriately. But, why don't I give him any profit? You know how much profit he's made for me? I recommend him as a real estate broker. He makes one deal, they're talking about $50,000. It's a lot of bottles of liquor to make what he makes for me. One year he was actually honored by the Riverdale Jewish Community Council for the Interfaith Award. Usually they give it to a galach or something like that, but they knew he was involved. And I spoke on his behalf. I was the guest speaker honoring John Brown. It got so bad that we got a letter from one of the Jewish real estate agents. That he has an unfair advantage. They want to find a guy who works in their office and he should buy the chametz. I kid you not. Anyway, so he comes that Erev Pesach, you're not going to believe it. He walks in, he had been away from the world for 6 months or more. He walked in with a beard that was longer than any of the beards of any of the rabbanim who sell the chametz. Down to here. He was all clean shaven, you know, really. Very, you know, clean cut. He still has the beard. He trimmed it, but he still has the beard. So it's hard to know who's the rabbi, and some of the rabbanim don't have beard, and he has a beard. If you get to one a little bit, you have to see who's wearing a yarmulke. So if you get the film, there'll be a picture of him. I'm not sure. I think it's with a beard. You saw the film, isn't it? You want to see the film? I forgot whether that year is done. How did that whole film come about? Because 1 year, Rabbi Rosenberg from who was then in Riverdale at the time, started doing a camcorder. He wanted to show us his tamid and what it looks like. And he showed it, and they were very impressed. And he called up the OU, make a professional job. So they came, but they asked me, they want to shear before this. Sorry, I'm part of this videotape. I feel so bad that they couldn't videotape the shear that I gave down the hall. Mr. Brown came in, but they tried to trip him up. That would have been a shear of dirt. But it was years later. So I gave a shear that was ready to teach you in that building, and they weren't letting talk, and the boys knew what I was talking about. But it was, they listened politely, asked a few questions. That's also on the video. But the exciting part is the real life, the mechira in real time, with the fire crackling, with the kids running. It's a very interesting video. I hope you enjoy it, and have a chakasha mitzameach. But you can't leave until you finish all those remaining cookies. That's for sure.
Mincha?
Sure, we're going to have a...